Please do yourself a favor and get the podcast of Pete's message, because it was just awesome. I honestly, like, it was a challenge to me. It was just good, and I love, like, Pete just talking about authenticity and knowing that everything he says is how he lives, and you can't talk about authenticity any other way. So that was just fantastic, Pete. Thank you. And I loved it, and I also just loved the spirit of honor that was on it, and it's so good. And I think we need to learn, like, in a culture that wants to cut people down a lot, even when we're just joking, to honor people, because it is so powerful. And it was just really, really good, Pete. I loved it. Thank you. And I don't know, so good. Hugh's word offering. Where's Hugh? Where is he? Where did he go? Oh, he's at the back. That was so good. I was just like, wow, hit me. I've never thought of it like that before, ever. And that was just awesome. I love it. Love being in church. Why would you miss this? Amen. I'm going to pray before I start. God, thank you so much for your presence with us. And God, before any of us thought about getting ready and coming to church tonight, that you were here, God, and you're already at work, God, and you've got stuff to say to us, and you've got things to do in our hearts. And God, I just pray that you would just speak to us, God, through your word, and just use us for your purpose, God. Amen. So the next couple of weeks, I'm excited. We're gonna talk about devotion. Woo! Anybody else excited about the possibility and all of that can be? Because I've been thinking for a while, and just, you know, after, like, I've grown up in church my entire life, and when you look at a life following Jesus, you know, it's not all, like, rah-rah excitement and flashing lights and music or whatever. Like, that's not what it means to follow Jesus. Like, we come together and we celebrate on a Sunday, and we should, and it's fantastic, and it's great. But, you know, being a Christian is a lot more than that. And following Jesus with your life means a lot more than coming to church on a Sunday. I think often, like, we need to understand that it's just about quiet devotion, where we would just commit our hearts and our lives to God, and we would build a life and build a lifestyle that seeks to honor God and live for Him. And that would just be every day, week in, week out. And, you know, it takes effort, it takes discipline, it takes focus. Are you encouraged yet? Come on. This may not be an encouraging couple of weeks. Adrian's going to speak next week, and I've seen some of his notes, and this looks really, really good. But I really hope that you are encouraged and challenged, and I loved what Mitch said. I can't see where anybody is. There he is. I don't know, the lights are just in my eye, and I just cannot see people. What was I saying? That was really good about just seeking God first. And I think that's, you know, it's stuff that if you've been around church, you've heard a lot of times, but we hear it and it goes in one ear and it goes out the other. And we look at it and we go, yeah, that was really good on Sunday. And then, you know, the next day we forget all about it. And I think we need to, if you want to be someone that gets to the end of life, and you know that you have devoted yourself to God and you've lived for Him and you've done everything that He's called you to do, then we need to devote ourselves. And it takes effort, it takes focus, and it is not a short race, yeah, it is a long race. In 1 Corinthians 9 it says, "Do you not know that in a race all of the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Oh, this is such a challenging passage. Paul just says, like, don't you look at the way a professional athlete trains and then realize that that's the same way we should follow God. Like, that's the same way we should live our lives as followers of Jesus. And we would take it so, like, nonchalantly, like, so for granted, and just so relaxed about it, as if going to church is just another thing that we do. But like Paul says, he says, don't you see that it's the same as somebody who's running a marathon, who beats their body and trains to do so that they can achieve the goal, so they can achieve the prize? And Like, it's crazy to think about, yeah? And I think we need to remember just the simple things and not get caught, like, being excited about what the next big thing is or the next thing is or whatever like that, but really just devote ourselves to God and what He wants to do in our lives. And, you know, nobody else can do it for you. You know, like, your family will not do it for you. Your life group will not do it for you. The pastor or whoever preaches is not going to do it for you. We need to learn to devote ourselves if we want to live a life for God. Amen. Are you with me tonight? Good. Good. I hope that you are with me. It would be really awkward if, you know, nobody agreed with that. Devotion. I'm excited. I'm very excited, I think. So I guess tonight I just want to talk about a few things on how we can devote ourselves, and I guess just some thoughts that I've been having, some things that I feel like God's been showing me, and so I'm going to do that. So the first thing we need to do, I think, is we need to know why we would devote ourselves. Like, when Paul talks about in Corinthians there about the person running for the prize, like, that person knows the prize. And I think we need to, as followers of Jesus, say, I know what the prize is, and so I'm going to go for it. And the prize is relationship with God. The prize is eternity in heaven. The prize is forgiveness of my sins. Like, the prize is so incredible. Like, it's this incredible thing. You know, the prize is a life lived to honor God and a life full of everything that He has for me. You know, it is bigger than any worldly thing that I could possibly dream of or think of, but it is so amazing, yeah? And we need to remember why we are devoted. Remember that you are saved by grace. Remember that you are loved by God, that you are created by Him and for Him, and that He wants you to do well. He is for you, yeah? You know, 1 John 4 says, it says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And in verse 9 it says, we love because He first loved us. Now, the only way that I am able to love is because God has loved me. And the reason that I'm devoted is because Jesus is devoted to me. No, like, Jesus saw me and He saw you as the prize that He devoted Himself for. That's right. I thought about that this week and I was just like, that's crazy. Am I good enough a prize for the price that Jesus paid? Like, is my devotion, is that a good prize? And like, it's by grace, it's not by works, but, you know, I want to be a good prize for Jesus, yeah? Like, you know, in Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. You know, it's always incredible to me that we are the bride of Christ. Us as people, me as a person, you as a person, we are the bride of Christ, yeah? And I want to be a good wife. That sounds funny. Don't you want to be a good wife? Come on, stay with me on that. I know it's funny, but honestly, like, if we are to be presented before Jesus as His bride, then, like, wouldn't I want to devote myself? Wouldn't I want to be, like, not half-hearted, not lukewarm, but totally sold out for Him, passionately devoted to Him, doing everything that I can to please Him and to honor Him and to serve Him and to submit to Him? I think guys read that passage and hear the, like, wives submit to your husbands and go, yeah, that's right. But if you are Jesus' wife, then you need to submit to Him. Come on. He's talking about Christ and the church. He's not just talking about an earthly thing. You on it? You with me on that? You know, come on. We need to understand why we would be devoted. Like, why would I devote myself to God? because he loves me, because he chose me, because he created me, because he had plans for me before I was born, before I was even a thought, before I was even like anything. He had a plan for me and he loved me. And so I am going to be devoted to him. Amen. And in Mark 12, it says in verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Jesus says this is the most important commandment. This is the number one most important thing we can do, yeah? So let's please not let like devotion to God become a religious practice. But remember that it is real and it is alive and it comes from the heart and it needs to come from your soul and your heart and be bursting out because you love God and he loves you and so you are devoted to him like a husband and a wife. That is the picture that Jesus paints. That's the picture that the Bible shows us of devotion to God. And it's not a stale religious idea where I attend church once in a while and I think about God on Easter. It is this living, powerful, active relationship, yeah? And knowing that I am chosen by God and valued by him and prized by him and I am the reason, you are the reason that Jesus died on the cross to win you. Like, when you get that in your heart and it's real, then why would you not be devoted to him? Amen? So that was the first one. Understand why. I guess the next few thoughts that I have are maybe a bit more practical. I really want you, but I just really felt like we need to understand that devotion, because I think when we hear devotion, like some of us may remember daily devotional books, maybe things like that, and devotion can be like a dry kind of sounding topic. But devotion is about setting your heart and your life apart for God because you love him and he loves you. And so that's kind of, I want to make sure that we understand that before we look at like practical things that we need to do. But all right, we're into the practical stuff now because otherwise I know I will not make it through. So we need to make it daily. It needs to be an everyday thing. You know, like soccer has started again in our first trial game yesterday, which was a little disappointing, but that's okay because it's only a trial and we've still got a lot of season ahead of us. Sea Life FC for the win. We're going to do well. It's going to be good. Look forward to, you know, illustrations about soccer every week at church again, as I remember last season was like. But I was thinking about it, and like soccer is fun and I enjoy it, but it's a weekend thing. No, I'm not a professional soccer player. I'm not, you know, getting paid to do that. It's not my life and my career and my everything. Yeah, it's a fun weekend thing that I do. Yeah, so let's be honest. I'm never going to get the call up from Barcelona to say, you know, Messi's broken his ankle and we need you. That's not going to happen. You know, my life is not devoted to playing soccer. It's a hard truth for some of the guys, I know. But, now hold, stay with me here, don't lose me. But I am a professional Christian. Not in that it's my job, but in it is the one thing that is most important to me in my life and the one thing that my life is devoted to. Yeah? You know, if you're a professional athlete, then your life is devoted to being an athlete. So I think we could think of ourselves as a professional Christian. If you hold that thought, please, and don't, I know that there are, you could go into negatives on that, but understand that the everyday number one thing for my life needs to be following God. Because that's me, that's who I am, and before anything else, before any job that I might have, career that I might have, skill that I might have, I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. That is the thing, yeah? The thing. Not a thing, the thing. You there? You with me? So it needs to be every day. You know, if something's important and valuable, then you will invest in it every day. If I wanted to be a professional soccer player, I would train every single day. If I want to be a Christian, a good Christian, then I should train every day, yeah? You know, whether it's quiet time or noisy time, just spend time with God. Just do it. You know, make a habit to spend every day reading the Bible and praying. You know, what I've found has really been helping me is I've got a reading plan on my phone and I can tick off when I've read a chapter and then if I miss something, it tells me that I've missed something. And I really find that helps me because, you know, it keeps me focused and disciplined. And so if that would help you, then do that. Find a way that helps you to develop a habit of spending time reading the Word every single day and praying, yeah? Get time and spend time focusing your life around what God focuses on. Because, you know, if you don't do that, then you will focus on whatever the closest thing is, whatever the biggest, like, scariest looking thing or the most distracting thing is in front of you. But if you get time with God where you focus your life, then you will focus on the things that He is focused on and you will live for Him, yeah? So I'm not saying make spending time with God a chore, but make it a habit, you know? Make it part of your daily thing. So there are things that you do every single day, I'm sure. There are habits, like I hope you have a shower or some sort of bathing every day. You eat every day. Like there are things that you just do every single day. Make spending time with God something that you just do every single day. Doesn't matter where you are or what is going on in your life. You just spend time with God every single day. It's just what you do. Now, when you're on school camp, when you're away with friends, when you're, I don't know, wherever you are, don't just give up on that time with God because something changed in your schedule. Come on, maybe this is just really basic, and it is, but, you know, devote yourself. Get to church, get to life group. Don't forsake gathering together, yeah? You know, the early church met every single day. So you got it easy in terms of church attendance, yeah? And honestly, like, we've had an incredible day in church. Oh, why would you miss that? Like, we should have more services. We should have like 10. You know, Acts 2, it says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And this is the picture and the fruit of a group of people who devoted themselves to God and who every day made it a daily thing to spend time with God, to spend time together, to really live out the things that they professed. And that's so powerful. And that was that first practical thought. Just make it daily. Make it an everyday thing, yeah? The second thing is set yourself apart. You know, how different are you? Can people tell that you are devoted to God by looking at your life? Is it obvious or is it more obvious that you're devoted to something else? Like, you know, you wear like a soccer jersey and that's great and people will see that you're devoted to that team, especially when you're wearing the Arsenal jersey and everybody else is bagging you out. You are devoted to that team and proud of it and that's great. But, you know, like are there things in our life that if someone looks at your life that they would say that person is devoted to whatever? Or would they go, that person is devoted to God? Like, what's the thing that you're setting yourself apart for? Yeah? Because, like, isn't being set apart for God way more important than being set apart for anything else? Like, how could there be anything else in my life that I would be set apart for other than God? That doesn't make sense, yeah? You know, like, I'm getting honestly sick of people talking about priorities in their life. So here's the priority. Seek God first. It's really, really, really simple. If you want a priority in a list, then seek God first in every single part of your life. That's it. Don't write a list. Don't say, well, it's kind of God and then my family and then the church and then my friends and then my work or whatever. Just don't write a list. Just seek God first with everything, you know. Trust God. Do you want success and blessing? Then trust God. Give it to Him. Seek Him first. You know, I'm so excited about Adrian speaking next week. Because honestly, Adrian is one of the most blessed people I know. I don't know if anybody else has realized this, but he just gets stuff. As the guys in Japan said, he has the bless. And he deserves it, honestly. And I know that the reason he is a blessed man is because he has devoted his life to God.
and he has not looked back. And you know, like people look at it and go, well, I got to get like work sorted out, or I got to do my study and that's important or whatever like that. But look at people who have devoted their lives to God and not looked back and just say, well, why would you want something different to that? How, like, are you not, do you not get it? Now, I've been reading Psalm 37 a bit lately, and it says this in verse 25, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. You know, you want to be successful, seek first the kingdom of God. Following Jesus isn't something that you do on top of your other stuff. It's the thing that you do all of your other stuff around. Anything else. You know, Mitch and I, as you probably know, have started coffee roasting business, and it's going all right, and it's going good. And but really, the thing that I'm excited about, I guess, the most is from the start, we've really just said, no, God is first, and we're not going to do stuff on a Sunday. We're not going to miss a church service for the business. We're not going to do anything like that because we want to put God first. And my prayer, and I know that our aim and our goal is that that would never change, and that we would always, we would just be seeking God first. You know, I do not want to have success at the expense of my relationship with God. That's not success. Do I trust God or not? That's a simple question. And God says that if I seek Him, I'll find Him. And that if I put Him first, that He will bless me. And He will provide everything that I need. That He knows what I need and He'll give it to me if I would seek Him first. So would I follow the model of the world and look at worldly people and what they've done to be successful? Or would I follow the model of God that God has put in front of me and said, this is the way. Like, if you want success, this is the way to do it. Amen. I don't know if that's a bit of a sidetrack, but come on. In Psalm 37, again, in verse 34, it says, hope in the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are destroyed, you'll see it. I've seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a luxuriant native tree, but soon he passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. You know, don't worry when you see people around you, maybe it's at work or school or whatever, who look like they're living for themselves and doing really, really well. Because there are people around you that are like that, and they are successful and they are far from God, and that's fine, good for them. But the Bible says that soon they will be passed away and be no more. And even though you look for them, you won't be able to find them. But the person that puts their hope in God and their trust in God will inherit the land and will be there to see that person fade away. We need to understand and we need to get that if we put God first in our life, we will not be let down. Oh, I think that we somehow, like, we have this thing in our world and in our life where, you know, we think that if we give everything to God, we will somehow miss out. But it's the total opposite. Like, what is your expectation of God, honestly? Like, what is your expectation of what will happen when you put God first? It's rhetorical in that I don't want you to yell out the answer, but it's not a rhetorical question. Write that down and think about it. What is your expectation when you put God first? What do you think is going to happen? And what does God say is going to happen? So I think that point was set yourself apart. And the last thing is, I don't know if everyone has seen these posters and everything, or it's on everything. It says, keep calm and carry on. Has people seen that around? Few people, it's a fairly popular thing, and I just got a quick video. If you haven't seen it, we're going to show this little video that it kind of explains what it means. It's going to come up.
In the spring of 1939, during the build-up to war with Germany, the British government commissioned a series of propaganda posters. These posters were intended to offer the public reassurance in the dark days that lay ahead. They were required to be uniform in style and were to feature a special and handsome typeface, making them difficult for the enemy to counterfeit. They used the crown of King George VI as the only graphic device and had just two colours. Of the three final designs that went into production, the first poster carried the slogan, "Your courage, your cheerfulness, your resolution will bring us victory." The second poster had the words, "Freedom is in peril, defend it with all your might." But the third design, of which over 2.5 million posters were printed, simply read, "Keep calm and carry on." Thank you. first two designs were distributed in September of 1939 and appeared up and down the country in shop windows and railway platforms. But the Keep Calm posters were held in reserve, intended for use only in times of crisis or invasion. In the end, the poster was never officially issued, and it remained unseen by the public until a copy turned up more than 50 years later. It was found in a second-hand bookshop called Barter Books in the northeast corner of England. Barter Books was begun in 1991 by a couple, Stuart and Mary Manley. The building used to be an old Victorian railway station. Huge rows of stacked shelves now stand in the place where the tracks would have been, but the station's old tea rooms and waiting rooms are still there. It was in 2000 that Stuart found the poster in a box of dusty old books that had been bought at auction. Mary liked it so much she had it framed and put it up near the shop till, and it proved so popular with the customers that a year later they began to sell copies. Since that time, the poster has been reproduced, parodied, and trivialised, and has become a truly iconic image of the 21st century. It is hard to say exactly why such a phrase from a bygone decade would have so much appeal and resonance now. Its design is considered simple and timeless, and now commonly recognisable. However, it is perhaps the words on the poster that people find most enchanting. Like a voice out of history, it offers a very simple, warm-hearted message to inspire confidence in others during difficult times. And it's something that should never fade from fashion. To keep calm and carry on.
So there you go, that explains that a little bit. But I saw that during the week, and like I'd seen that poster before, and I guess just thinking about devotion, and I just really feel like we just need to, you know, keep calm and carry on. Like, don't get worried about circumstance in your life or things that happen or crazy stuff that happens. Don't let your devotion be decided by your circumstance, yeah? But let your devotion be decided by your God and just keep on going, you know? Don't worry about what's happening or what you, like, your selfish thoughts or anything like that. But just don't give up and just keep going, yeah? And if you fall, then get back up again. And honestly, I think, like, We need to stop being afraid of making a mistake and stop being afraid of falling. You know, I honestly think the thing that you need to be afraid of is not trying again. And I think that we need to just carry on and just keep going. If you want devotion, it's a long-term thing. And Psalm 37 verse 23 says this. It says, "For the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Now, God is for you. He is not waiting for you to fail, but he is holding you up with his hand. So we can keep on going. And Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But if you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul." No, it's not some public thing or some like thing where you sit in a seat and then that shows that you're devoted to God, but that your heart is devoted to God. And that you just don't give up, yeah? That you just keep on going, yeah? And when everything else fades away, that you would just carry on. You would just keep on keeping on. And we do that, then God has so much promise for us. And I'll finish with this verse. It's in Malachi 3, verse 10. It says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." And I think, like our devotion, we need to understand why we're doing it and what the result of it is. You know, God is not waiting for you to stuff up so that he can point at you and say, "Look, there you go, you failed." God wants you to succeed. And God says that if you would be devoted to him and you would delight in him and you would trust in him, he says, "Test me and see if I will not just throw open the floodgates of heaven." Like, that's huge. Think about that. That God says, "I will literally just pour heaven out onto you and you won't even know what to do with the blessing if you would just delight yourself in me, if you would just, you know, bring the tithes into the storehouse. That's just devotion. That's just week in, week out, doing the stuff that you know you need to do, and just being devoted to God with everything. And so that's it. I'm gonna pray. God, I thank you so much for your word and your faithfulness and your love for us, God, and that we can love you and we can love people and all of that just only because you first loved us, God. And God, I just thank you so much for that and everything you've done. I pray that you would just open our hearts to hear from you, God. And God, I thank you that you're speaking to us tonight. And I just pray that you'd really just put specific things on people's hearts, God. And I don't know what it is or what thing really you've put in people's hearts. But God, I really believe in faith that you have put things in people's hearts tonight, God. And I just pray that you would cement that, you would put that in there, God. And we would be a people who devote themselves to you and just totally and wholeheartedly devoted, and would just keep going no matter what, God. God, I thank you for an incredible church full of amazing people that do exactly that, God. And I pray that we would never lose sight of why we do it, and we would never lose heart, God, but we would always just seek you and follow you and devote ourselves to you for our whole lives, God. If you don't know God, or you feel like you're far from him, then I want to give you an opportunity to come close to God again tonight. And we're all going to pray together, but if you just feel like, I don't know, maybe you've never received God's love and Jesus' love, then I want to let you, give you a chance to do that tonight. Or maybe you just feel really a long way from being devoted to God, then I want to pray with you again. And so we're going to pray this prayer together. It'll be on the screen in a second. And if you want to do that and you want to commit your life and devote your life to God, then pray this prayer. And we will all pray, but pray from your heart. And so let's just pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Thanks, guys.